The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left is Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. Continuing around the table, Professor Dan Maggio is here with us.
Hello.
And good to be here. So you've been ill recently, but were you able to get any curling done during that time?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Okay, good.
So 3 nights a week and things are going well.
It's that time of year.
Yep, my body is still functioning.
So. Good.
You're here.
Mm-hmm. I am here.
Professor Jim Tubbs is here with us today.
Hello, hello.
What's going on, Jim?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just grading some papers, getting ready for final exams next week.
Happy dead week. Multiple people told me in the last week things that amounted to, I went to Costco mid-morning on a Tuesday, and I thought I was safe, but I wasn't.
Nope.
Or something like that.
Nope.
You know what I mean?
Nothing is safe.
Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon, all during the year, are horrible. But around Christmas time, it can be any time.
That is right. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely right.
And heck, if you can't get to the samples, I mean, what's the point of going to Costco?
I mean,
they still have a hot dog. That's good.
That's true. On the cheap. The other thing that we're, you know, between myself and the neighbors across the street, we're also doing the Amazon box watch.
That's right. Oh, and thank you for that, because I know you're keeping watch over the neighborhood on this.
Yes.
100%. Yeah. Professor Aaron Bell is here with us today.
Good evening. Good afternoon.
Evening.
I don't know. It's dark
we'll
out already.
It.
It's dark.
Come on, it's 4 o'clock. It's pitch black.
Past my bedtime.
It's just the way it is. Aaron, one of my favorite internet personalities came out the other day to say, I'm against us changing daylight savings time.
Okay.
And you would have seen like this person get just excoriated for being pro daylight savings time. And I just sat back like with a bowl of popcorn and watched the fireworks. That's all
there
I'm going
to
say.
There for the comments.
You know, there for the comments. Thank you for giving the
regular
parlance.
I have some rumors, though, people looking for certain Professor Mayo, and someone said, well, it wasn't quite, I don't know if they said 5:45 a.m. that you were here, and that just like blew my mind. So I think I'm a morning person, but
No.
Dave is an early guy.
Yeah. No.
Dave is
an
early guy.
He's not a morning
I'm
person.
A late
he's a slightly after midnight person.
That's true.
See, I'm a late guy. You're an early guy.
You're late early.
He
and
used
I'm early
to have
late.
6 a.m. office hours on Saturdays.
Oh,
in
wow.
person on campus.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yes.
It was so nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
One-on-one tutoring.
Things
Jim, what did we say about Matt a couple years ago that he you know, rises before Jesus or something like that? So.
Yeah.
Up before God
that's
is the way
right.
we used
yeah,
to say
right.
it. Yes.
That's right. That's what
it's
it
only
was.
Bakers, police people, and news people, but they don't
and
exist
vagrants.
Anymore. Yeah,
and
vagrants.
And Matt Mayo.
Professor Danielle Maxwell is also here with us today.
Yes, I am.
That's it?
Okay. I am here.
Let's move on.
That is where I'm at mentally.
She's a biped. She's a carbon life form. We're
she's
good.
Existential.
She's suffering from the same illness that I am, definitely, right now. I
you
mean,
gave
it may
to
only
me.
Be,
thank you.
No. I'm talking about the Honolulu flu.
Oh, that flu.
Yes.
Not the other flu.
Staying up late to watch
did
the game
did you stay
flu.
Up for the whole thing last night?
I couldn't help myself.
How could you turn away?
And then you had a heart attack three times.
Please.
You did take a nap.
I took a nap.
You cheated.
In the third quarter.
Yeah. But I stayed up the whole time and did not nap.
Yeah. Well, no, the worst thing, I was downtown at a shindig at the Book Cadillac.
Oh,
so
nice.
I caught the second quarter, northbound Woodward, and I watched the third and fourth quarter at home.
Okay, so. Okay, that was nice.
But I will admit, I was checking the phone every 20 minutes. So.
Absolutely.
Hutchinson created this sweatshirt for the holidays, and he spelled gratitude wrong on it. And
grit.
It said
gratitude.
There was an extra I in gratitude, and no one noticed until there was like 2 comments, like 11 p.m. that day on his Instagram, and he was like, "I can't spell gratitude," so they're resending out all of the sweatshirts with gratitude spelled correctly.
That's why you need to hire professionals to do this.
I like it because it was silver
writing
lettering,
center.
But the G, R, and the I, T were in blue. It was really
nice.
Extra I in there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. No regrets. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. Or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. So these, at least indirectly, were sent in by my mom, Dee Mayo, because she saw a story in the Free Press written by Julie Hines about this new book that's coming out called Motor City Famous, By Steve Plotto.
Steve Plotto, yeah, I work with him.
There you go. I bet you were going to say that.
He's in advertising.
If we say Lily Tomlin, Tim Allen, Keegan-Michael Key, and Lizzo, those are fairly obvious celebrities with ties to Detroit. But can you identify these lesser-known Motor City brushes with celebrity? So, we'll give Steve a nice plug for his book. How's that? This celebrity spent the first few weeks of his life in Detroit as his mother recovered from his birth here. This was long before he hosted Star Search.
Ed McMahon.
Never actually lived here, but his dad was a traveling salesman.
Well, I can see why his mother had to recover from his birth.
He was a big guy. But yeah, they were on the road, and she had to give birth. She almost died during delivery, and so they had to stay for several months in Detroit. The very beginning of his life. He also was Johnny Carson's sidekick on the Tonight Show, of course. Yes.
Does he have any other claim to fame besides that, by the way?
I don't know. He became a little bit of a joke near the end of his life because his voice was so obvious.
Well, he also died penniless, too, if I remember right.
Did he?
That's horrible. That's horrible.
The sweepstakes, right? That's another claim.
Publisher's Clearinghouse.
Oh, yeah. You're a spokesperson for that. Mm-hmm.
I guess he didn't win.
I guess he didn't win.
Obviously not.
Yikes. This comedy writer-director paid homage to his childhood street address in the story he wrote that inspired the entire series of National Lampoon's movies.
Really?
Who is that?
Oh, Raimi?
Sam Raimi?
Sam Raimi.
No.
Who's... No?
I'm a little bit surprised. Did you know he grew up, what is it, at 741 and whatever the street name is in Grosse Pointe?
This is a classic
80s film director and writer.
John Hughes.
Yeah, it was John Hughes. John Hughes.
Oh, I never would have picked it.
I thought it was all Chicago. Chicago suburbs.
I mean, that's where he was later in life. But
a lot of people born and leave. Yep. Unlike us.
And just to throw it in there, because, you know, we do these back-to-back folks, but you'd never know that unless I brought up the crosstalk here. He was looking at a map of the great city of Detroit when he decided that the last name of the family in those stories would be
Griswold.
So it's not Griswold, Detroit.
Wow,
yeah.
One
of our streets downtown.
And I didn't know he directed those movies.
Yeah. Well, he wrote and directed like back and forth a lot of different stuff. Primarily he was the writer for the National Lampoon's movies.
Yeah. Never seen a single one of those.
What?
We probably should fix that.
Yeah, we should probably fix that. Yeah.
They're a little bit cringe now, as my kids say. No, I made my same like you said. I had my kids watch. They're like, this is really like troubling. Like, why is he objectifying her?
My adolescence was filled with Molly Ringwald. So
John Hughes, but not the Lampoon.
Right. The Lampoon. Yeah.
I just like this cigar going into the drain.
Oh, jeez. Start with the Christmas movie, Danielle. It's probably the least offensive.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Okay. There are some very offensive moments. So.
Perfect. Well, we love that.
And what's her name? That was her corpse was riding on top of the car.
Yeah. I always think that when I'm driving.
What is this movie about?
That was vacation. That was they were going on their vacation in this new car that was just gross.
Oh my.
Wally World. Yeah, you have to see it.
Yep. Okay. Add it to the watch list.
This star of Breakfast at Tiffany's final resting place is in Dearborn, Michigan.
Audrey Hepburn. That's the only person I know.
Who's the other one in it?
He also played Lieutenant Colonel John Smith in one of the 80s most beloved action-adventure TV
shows.
George Peppard, yes.
Thank you.
George Peppard.
I was like, Peppard.
He's buried here?
Yeah.
He's buried in Dearborn. Grew up around here. I said in class the other day, I'm so sorry, Danielle. I said in class the other day, I love it when a plan comes together after we had finished. And a student recognized that it was Hannibal that said that. From the reboot movie, not from.
Who was the reboot? Liam Neeson
played.
You know he's doing Hannibal the reboot Smith. Of Naked Gun.
Yep, I did see that. Yeah,
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson's.
He'll do it all.
Mm-hmm. Art Clokey grew up in Detroit and lived there until his uniquely coiffed father died in a car accident. Art is best known for having made these 1950s cartoon icons.
Gumby.
Gumby and Pokey. Yes, Gumby and Pokey. Gumby had a sort of a swoosh on the side of his head, and his dad wore his hair that way, and he always thought it was kind of fun. So, yep. Oh my, whew, this is a little bit of a downer, but it is kind of cool to hear how the story finishes. Birgit Annalisa Rusanen was born to parents who were members of the Third Reich. Was orphaned soon after World War II. She was adopted by a Detroit-based couple in 1949 and had her name changed to Marta Kristen, eventually playing Judy Robinson on this 1960s TV show.
Lost in Space.
Another mad crush of my youth.
Yes, absolutely. And a Detroiter, no less. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Norwegian.
Mm-hmm. She was Norwegian, born to German parents. Yeah, wow. I don't even know how to...
Right. A lot to unpack there. Yeah,
a lot to unpack, exactly. Oh, my gosh. This is the way that I phrase the question because I think it's only appropriate. This American mega celebrity grew up in a 40-room mansion at the corner of Woodward and Updike. Come on. You got to know this.
Robin Williams.
Yes. While he attended Detroit Country Day, one of the greatest comedians of all time. Yep. Incredible. 40-room mansion.
Wow.
Yeah, it is an office space now. It's not actually a house anymore. What was unique about the houses that Diana Ross, Mary Wilson, and Florence Ballard purchased after they hit it big as the Supremes?
They're the Projects, was what she was
born. No, they grew up.
Yeah, they grew up as
children in the Projects.
Herman Gardens. So,
what was unique about the houses they bought when they became
same
famous?
Same architect?
Were they next to each other?
They were right next to each other.
Oh,
that's right.
That's
right
so
in a
cute.
Row. Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's adorable.
I think that's pretty cute. Between the ages of 1 and 3, this comedian lived with her parents in Wyandotte until her father passed away at the age of 27 due to typhoid.
Oh my gosh.
If you've ever heard the story before, he, when he was ill, blamed it on getting some bad ice cream, whatever that means. She did not remember, she was only 3 years old, much from that day, except that a bird got stuck inside her house that day. And it led to a lifelong ornithophobia for her. Oh, she moved back to her hometown of Jamestown, New York.
Lucille Ball.
It was Lucille Ball.
Whoa,
yes,
I did not know that.
Wyandotte.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why I got to buy this book, because a lot of the little bits and pieces in there are
He's got a book signing coming up.
Yeah, that's cool. So. Around here?
Yes, I'll look it up.
Oh, wow. See?
Please send it.
He works with the best around here.
I had lunch with him a couple weeks ago. So
nice. Tell him that we gave him a free plug.
I will. I will definitely let him know.
A very humble bungalow in Monroe was this model's childhood home. She appeared on an unprecedented 3 consecutive covers of Sports
Christy
Illustrated
Brinkley.
Swimsuit Brinkley. Issues. Yes. And spent 25 years as the face of cover girl, Christy Brinkley. Absolutely.
And coincidentally, she was in Vacation.
Oh, that's right.
So now you have to watch Vacation.
Now I have to watch this.
In a red convertible.
The universe is telling you to watch.
All signs are pointing towards National Lampoon's.
Join us. Last one, folks. 7 doors down from Diana Ross's childhood home on Belmont in the great city of Detroit is the childhood home of another Motown performer. Who was that?
Smokey?
Smokey Robinson, nice. Absolutely. Grew up just down the street. Okay, another set of questions. Oh, these will be fun.
Those are good.
Yeah, those were good. And thanks, Steve. We're giving you a plug for your book. The book is way longer than 10 questions, so still more to find out.
Tell your mom thanks.
Oh, yeah. She saw it. She's like, these would make good questions for the show. I'm like, oh.
Oh, and also ready. One of Steve's coworkers, Gail Offen, also got... the Michigan food book.
Out. Oh, okay.
Oh, so that'd be nice.
I just got that the other day from BookBeat.
Nice.
Ooh. So,
BookBeat.
Dear professors, I saw there was a call for questions on Facebook. I've come up with 15 questions of TV characters, but what do they do for a living?
Ooh.
I hope you'll enjoy my questions. I had so much fun doing the research. Our very good friend, Amber Hubley. Thank you for sending those in.
Yeah, Amber. Thanks, Amber.
Thanks,
Let's
Amber.
See what we can do. So we're going across many different generations here. Odd Couples... Oscar Madison.
Oh.
Sports writer.
He was a sports writer.
And a slob.
Yep.
But that's not a profession, is it?
Is it?
Being
a slob? I mean, people take it pretty professionally around
my
house.
True.
They do.
Really seriously.
They've gone
very,
pro.
Very seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
So Michael Gross played Family Ties Steve Keaton.
He was a PBS manager.
He was a PBS manager.
That is so
manager.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally forgot that.
Yep.
What do they call it? It's, oh my gosh, when they go in, oh, pledge season.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
is it pledge season?
Oh, or AKA Begathon.
Begathon, that's right.
We did that this week on the Tuesday thing.
Oh, Giving Tuesday is
Giving Tuesday.
A
that's a Begathon.
Oh, yeah.
Shut down my email. It was so good.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, my email was crowded with stuff, too.
No, it literally shut down my email. Like, no access.
Oh, my gosh. All in the Family's Michael Stivic was?
Oh, he's an English teacher.
I mean, we'll professor. Give it to you. He was a professor, yeah. He was actually a college professor. That's right.
Was it English, I think? Yes.
I think it was English, yep. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air's Philip Banks.
A lawyer.
He was just rich.
Uncle right? Phil. Yeah, he was a lawyer. And then, later a judge, or something like that.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
That's now you're getting into my era.
A.K.A. the voice of Shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
God and rest his soul. Yep. God like rest Amy Poehler, soul. I think I can do that whole theme song if you want me to later.
I would love to see that, actually.
Oh, my word. That is awesome.
For ATP karaoke session.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Oh, we're doing karaoke?
Yeah. We brought that back up, yes.
No.
Laverne and Shirley's Carmine Ragusa. What did he do?
He was a dance instructor, wasn't he?
It says there were two jobs. One was dance pizza delivery, and the other was pizza delivery. For,
pizza is what I remember. Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Danielle. These look to be a little more on the early 90s.
That is okay.
Reruns.
We'll
I learned
there.
So much from the show.
Yes. TV land.
Yes. The Jeffersons' Tom Willis.
Hmm. Oh, he worked at the UN, didn't he?
Oh, that's not what it says.
He was an accountant.
I mean, that's a good guess.
That is a great guess. I don't know anything as well.
He's played. Oh God, I could.
He didn't work in advertising, did he?
Not advertising.
Marketing.
It's the same job that Elaine Bennis had on Seinfeld for a long time.
Bad dancer.
Catalog.
After that, or before that? Pardon me. Before
librarian.
That, yeah, not librarian.
No, she was
salesperson.
She was. Nope. Was she office manager? No. What did she do?
I'm so sorry. Tom Willis worked for a publishing company.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking of the guy that lived upstairs.
You're thinking of
Walk on him.
Yeah, the British gentleman.
Yeah.
Yep. A little bit of a no-brainer, but the Munsters, Herman Munster.
Ran a funeral home.
Yeah.
Worked at a funeral home.
That's right. It only makes sense. You know, I mean, come on. I think this is one that you might be able to grab at, Danielle. We probably should just let her do it. Because,
stand back.
No
stand
pressure. Back.
I mean, you've seen an episode of Friends before, right?
I've seen one. Okay. No, sorry. I've seen them all. I've seen the whole thing.
In black and white.
So yes. Do you remember what Ross Geller's job was?
Oh, he's not archaeologist, but he's like the guy in the museum that does the thing. He has a doctorate. But
Come on, Danielle.
Anthropology?
No,
it's... Oh, the dinosaur guy. I'm not a biologist.
It's a paleontologist. That is correct.
See, he's the doctor guy.
You got it exactly correct.
Yes. You circled it.
Oh, guy.
He's a doctor. That's all I know.
No, that was good because in the episode where Ross finds out that Phoebe doesn't believe in evolution, he's constantly showing her his thumbs. Sort of like, look, I'm glad I can pick up this cup with my opposable thumbs. Oh, that's hilarious. All the way back to the beginning of Golden Television, the Honeymooners' Ralph Cramden was...
A bus driver.
He was a bus driver. How about the Cheers...
And Ed Norton was a sewer worker.
That's right. How about Cheers' Norm Peterson? He had three jobs.
He was an accountant.
That would have been Danielle.
And what else did he do?
A teacher.
No, he was a painter, wasn't he?
He was a painter. He was?
A teacher.
Nope, teacher.
A go-go
teacher.
Dancer.
It's aligned with painter at least a little bit more than accountant.
Did he do like carpenter?
Home repairs?
Really close, Dan. He was like interior decoration.
Oh, really?
That was Norm.
Norm.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Uh-oh. This is absolute classic from the very first days of Fox. Married with Children's Al Bundy.
Shoe salesman.
Everybody knows he sold shoes at the mall. I turned on the television the other day and it was an episode of Married with Children and it was about Christmas. He had tied a large number of small children up with garland, and there was a sign out that said, Uncle Al's I'll Watch Your Kids While You Shop service or something. It's so stupid. But,
will be booking an appointment.
Made me laugh out loud. Oh, my gosh.
I can't believe how controversial that show was.
It was utterly controversial.
Yeah.
My mother hated it. We weren't allowed to watch it.
Remember Terry Ricolta?
Terry Ricolta. So, Danielle, this show came out at the very beginning of Fox, and Fox was viewed to be, the scandalous network.
It was outré for its time.
Risque.
And the main voice in sort of the classic template of I'm a mom and I'm not going to take this anymore was from Bloomfield Hills. And so we were in the news a lot around here when it came to that show.
Yes. Her husband was also on the board of trustees at CCS.
Terry Ricolta. I can't believe you remember that name, but here we are. Mr. Ed's Wilbur Post.
Architect.
He was an architect.
Oh, wow.
I remember he had a drawing board. I was envious.
Okay.
Well, he was either a U or he was an architect.
No, he had regular hours.
Who else? Wasn't it Brady? Was that
architect? Yeah, Mike Brady. The world's worst architect. Yeah.
Why was he a bad architect?
Well, the house was not a great
prize. I was going to say, how many kids and how many bathrooms?
The worst architect builds something that falls down. So he wasn't the worst.
Yep. Okay, I'll give you that the stairs didn't have the best railing. I'll give you that.
I always thought the house was so cool. Like, I was
what was it? Somebody bought it.
Because it was a set.
Yeah. I wanted to live there.
Somebody actually bought it and actually reconstructed it to mimic the set.
Oh, like they bought the outer house.
But I always thought...
And it was very difficult because they couldn't fit all the bedrooms into the space they had upstairs. Yep.
Well, but there was only two bathrooms, one for the kids and one for Alice. And that was it.
True. Mm-hmm. That is true.
Well, like Alice is going to give that up?
That's
Are you kidding?
Lot of kids. That is a lot of kids.
There were three bathrooms.
No.
I thought the parents had their own.
I don't think they had a bathroom. I think they went outside.
They didn't. Oh.
What the parents had was separate beds.
That's how it always is when you're a parent.
That's old school.
They just went out the window.
No, the parents did not have separate beds.
They did?
Yeah. They had a double bed.
Did they? Okay, then I'm remembering it backwards.
I love Lucy.
Lucille Ball. Oh, Lucy, they had separate beds, yes.
And it was hugely scandalous that they showed the
parents. Little Ricky was conceived immaculately.
Wow. That's right.
Yes.
If only they saw today.
If only.
And was it Leave It to Beaver was the first toilet flush on the air?
Yes.
That's right.
Wow.
How about One Day at a Time's Anne Romano?
Oh, God.
I feel like we've had this. You all have said this.
Bonnie Franklin.
Multiple times. Yeah.
Accountant.
It's not accountant.
Was she like an account executive of some sort?
It says executive, but it doesn't say account.
Marketing.
You know what? Advertising. I'll give it to you.
Sold.
I've never actually seen any of that show.
Oh. There's a really good reboot of it that was really pretty clever.
Valerie Bertinelli. Yeah. Hot and saucy back then.
Inclusive is good. Yeah, we'd love to see inclusivity.
Yeah, absolutely. How about The Sopranos' Tony Soprano?
Garbage.
Furniture?
He was in Waste
Management.
Oh, yeah.
Waste
Besides being a mobster, he was also...
I was going to be like, isn't it all about mobsters?
He would carry away your waste, human and otherwise.
Exactly. How about Happy Days Ralph Malf?
Ophthalmologist.
You know, he did something before he became an optometrist, though. What was it?
Bad comedian?
Student.
Those are all true statements. But that's not what it says here.
He did something, and then
he returned from it and became an optometrist.
Oh, he went to the Army.
He was in the Army, yes.
So this was like the later years of Happy Days?
Early years, I mean, I remember when he was in high school, then he went off to the military.
Okay.
Then he followed his dad, Mickey Mouth. And became an
Mickey Mouth.
Mickey and Minnie
Mouth.
Mickey and Minnie Mouth.
That's
Mouth.
Just silly.
M-A-L-P-H.
Oh,
M-A-L-P-H.
Oh, my goodness.
Ralph Mouth was the son.
Okay.
So. Yikes. Well, you'll remember that Frank and the Family Burrows is set to get a totally new twist on Imponderables.
Yes.
We're being asked of the professors in the room.
Mm. Oh, Dan, were you here for this?
No, but Dan was nominated for a ton of things. Yeah.
We were all Imponderables.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
They were all good.
Yeah, Today's question is...
Take it with honor. Take it with honor.
Which of the professors do you think could successfully land a jetliner with help from the control tower?
It's out of the professors in the room, right? Yeah. Is that what we decided?
Yes. Professors in the room. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Matt.
You think so? Dear God.
No, I do not trust him. I was going to say you.
Remember the airline bit where he was sweating so much?
Yes.
That would be you? Blame it on the citric acid.
I don't think so. I'm going to actually give this one to Danielle. I would actually.
Yeah. You would do it. You could do it.
Yeah, you'd do it.
Instructions.
No way.
Yes, you could.
You were there when we hit the orange barrel almost driving home.
That wasn't your fault. It rolled into the lane.
And then a couple hours later, a piece of wood flying into the hood of the car.
But you avoided it, right?
I tapped it. I went from 70 to 0 on the freeway.
That's really.
Only two car accidents with
the
scam.
The most slow-mo thing I've ever seen. So the barrel, right? The classic construction barrel. And it's in this slow roll into our lane. And we're going 70 miles per hour. And it's just like, whoop. Hey, that was good anti-lock brakes. What can I say?
See, there you go. Yeah. If you can avoid that barrel, you can land a plane.
I don't know if I would have done that. Then afterwards, you're like, I probably would have done that exact same thing.
Danielle would be the one to land a plane.
Well, I'm glad you have that faith in me because I don't.
In the days of fly-by-wire, it's not that difficult.
And if it was really that bad, I have no problem jumping out of a good plane. So,
well, let's do one more to see if we can keep all of our thinking sharp here. Which professor would be the first in the room to be mistaken for a specific celebrity? That's a good one. I would be mistaken for Jacob Kagi, but I wouldn't qualify either of us as a celebrity.
I'm going to say me.
I'm going to say Dan, too.
There is that one actor on the Geico commercial that my nieces swear up and down. It's my doppelganger.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Good
but
grief.
People say I look like Paul Giamatti.
A little bit.
You do look a little like Paul Giamatti.
Yeah. And maybe Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Captain Kirk!
Just kidding. Yeah.
And maybe but Shaquille O'Neal. Like
Aunt Esther. I mean,
except for a few obvious
differences.
Height?
And Dan is not Canadian.
Yes. The other obvious one.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe we could twist the question again and say, has anybody ever mistaken you, people in this room, to be a celebrity or someone who you're not?
I got like snagged at the border once.
I have been mistaken for somebody else they knew many times, but never a celebrity that I
My mom mistook me for one of my research group members. She thought my research group member was me, and I was her from behind because we both have brown curly hair. And so she, like, came up to her and gave her a hug, and my friend's like, why is your mom hugging me?
I like that story.
So, I was coming back from Canada once. I was stopped at the border.
Okay.
And they said, haven't we seen you on television? Oh. And Marcy was laughing her butt off because that person watched Dead Files.
Oh,
and
recognized Dead Files. Me from, of course. You were mistaken for yourself?
I was mistaken for myself.
That's awesome. Wait, what is Dead Files?
Oh, we got to tell Danielle about Dead Files. Wait till you hear the stories about Dead Files.
Is that show still on?
No.
It is.
No, it is. It's canceled.
Well, yeah, but it's still on.
Oh, yeah, it's still
can
on.
Can I find an episode on YouTube?
Oh, yes, you can.
Perfect.
You can see it anywhere.
Further viewing
you want.
Homework for the weekend.
Yes. Oh, great. My gosh. How about you, Aaron?
In the 90s, I had a nickname, which was Courtney for Courtney Love. And you probably can't see it now.
Yeah, I can see it.
Maybe a little.
It was the bleached blonde hair and just the... it's gone away now. But
it's a Drury Inn lighting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You look much less dissipated.
Yeah, she... I mean...
It's the post-Herschel...
She looks like more like this, but with a straight hair. She is a lot... She's not aged very well.
I would agree.
She's aged like a leather glove.
There's
been
a lot of work. And it was just, I think it was more like the components, not really the whole. You know, like, oh, blonde hair, baby doll dress.
Yes.
And were you walking around like ripped,
totally grunge?
Yeah, no, I was.
Ripped stockings and kicking people in the shins.
Yeah,
and
I thought
like
I was really cool.
You are really cool.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then the only other one, which I thought was really weird that I can't really wrap my brain around, was. Is it Victoria? She was on SNL. Blonde. Is it Victoria Newman?
Oh, the one that went a little on the crazy side?
Yeah.
Jackson.
And I didn't see it, but I was like, what?
A little sure. Sure.
She's blonde.
Oh, are we taping this? Oh, please.
Yeah, we're taping this.
Oops.
Unfortunately, though,
she
the
went
time
in a slightly
has
different
come
direction
for us to say goodbye. Danielle.
Adios.
Aaron.
Also going in a slightly different direction.
Jim.
Goodbye.
Dan.
Goodbye.
And Dave.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.